Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Corridge-Cole. This week, I'm joined by Maya Lucky, Charlotte Collins, Astrid Carter, and founder of Social Pantry, Alex Head. So first of all, this week, I wanted to talk about Massimo Dutti, because it's somewhere that I used to go, but suddenly this season, I really want to go there.
Yeah, I agree. It's somewhere that I always used to go, like, in Spain in the summer with my mum. You know, I wanted to do, like, Zara and H&M, and then there was Massimo Dutti, which was, like, the boring adult version
of. Grown up.
Yeah, or the grown-up version of. But actually, this season, it's really kind of hitting the nail on the head with kind of grown-up fashion, I think.
It's got some really nice pieces. I mean, it's doing the tailoring. It's got really nice kind of luxe white tailoring, but it's also doing fashion really well. Some of those tropical prints,
amazing jumpsuits as well, like wide legs and palazzo pants, and like loads of things that you wouldn't necessarily associate with a kind of more conservative brand like Massimo Dutti.
I think their shoes are really good as well.
Yeah, I noticed their black suede pointy with a bow.
I was just about to say, those ones are amazing. Yeah, and there's a pair from The Row, which I said to you, Ashton, last week, which I think they're a copy of, but I mean, it's like a tenth of the price. They're amazing. Yeah.
The other shoes I thought were great, the sort of Lanvin style ballerina pumps in a blush that are everywhere now. I thought those were great. And the other thing that really stood out for me was this green off-the-shoulder asymmetric dress, which I've been selling to pretty much all my girlfriends. So none of them are connected. They're all different groups of friends anyway. Yeah. Two of them have now bought this dress.
Another one bought it.
So I can't host anything, so they're all going to turn up in this green dress. But actually, I was with one of them. We were driving down Ken High Street the other day on our way to the Diana thing, and I was like, that's the dress. She was like, oh, it is really nice. It's this amazing green.
Yeah, it's like a bottle green, like emerald, right?
So let's talk about that green, because it's suddenly everywhere. It's, as you say, it's not a colour you would associate, or that shade of green.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's quite a sort of, it's not straight emerald, it's a bit khaki,
it's like a bright grass, like it's just, like a...
more of a tropical green, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think it's really nice, and it's not a colour I would ever wear, but probably with a tan, you can just about get away with it. But I think it looks amazing on a brunette.
Yeah, I actually think it's quite flattering. I think if you're pale, it's a good colour for you because it's bright. You know, it's better than kind of a lot of the blushes and that kind of colour that's around at the moment. And then, as you say, on a brunette, I think it's stunning. Such a nice shade.
Yeah, so this season, yellow and green, I mean, they are not colours I would ever go for. No. But anyway, if you want to do it, go and get that green dress from Massimo Dutti. The other trend that we just can't get enough of is the statement earring. And we did a piece focusing on J. Crew and their tassel styles in particular, which are obviously inspired by the Oscar de la Renta. Big, great, you're nodding. Alex, do you know these ones? Aren't they great?
Yeah, amazing. And I love the orange pom-poms as well.
I think your kind of association changes as trends come back. We'd always talk about this with pink. Like a year ago, I was saying to Ash, like, I would never wear pink, whereas now it's all I wear. And so I think that's the same with the statement earrings. Like when it becomes more mainstream, you start to think, oh, I love that.
Channel in the inner Pat Butcher.
From J. Crew to Next. I just can't believe how great Next is this season.
I know, it's impressive.
And it's just such a surprise, isn't it? Somebody, a really welcome surprise.
Yeah, a friend actually turned up to my house last night in those pom-pom
flats.
And I was like, they're Next. And she was like, oh, you caught me. I was like, well, watch my haul. And then you'd know. But obviously they're having a bit of a renaissance that people are actually now going to them. It's like a kind of veritable high street option, which it kind of hasn't been for quite a long time.
But they also do delivery. You know, it's a bit like John Lewis. It's just so easy. You can order at Next at like 6 o'clock. And it's in store the next day. It's such an efficient service.
Well, the next sale is like a huge thing, isn't it? Like people get up in the queue from like 5 in the morning to get to the next
clothes.
I was genuinely one of them. Like, it's nice.
Are you one of those?
I go to the Boxing Day sale. It's become like a tradition with my mum. Like, we get up at my mum, my sister, and me. 5 o'clock in the morning, Boxing Day, queue up.
No, the next. That is the best thing I've heard all day.
Well, it's every year for 5 years.
what do you buy for clothes? Or for
clothes, yeah. It's just so cheap. Like, I have to say, the last couple of years, it's been a bit more disappointing, but that's not because of Next. I don't think that's because I live in a very small place in Devon.
Because you're going to do an all-nighter this year.
It's a tradition. Yeah, I know. I can't wait. I'll be there bright and early, first one in the queue.
Do you? I love that. Yeah, sort of Boxing Day tradition. It's the next sale. Why not?
My mum loves it. It's sort of like a present to each of us. So
that's
like,
so cute.
It was Holly Scarsella from Pamplona. Mm. She was looking at that red dress, wasn't she?
Yeah, sadly that red dress is now sold out. The boho one, not the senoritery one.
Yes, the boho one. Yeah. I saw Mothers of Daughters had it on her.
Lots
of
yes. You see yes. That? No, I saw the sandals that she had, and that's when
yes,
I realised.
Yes, she is
going
down.
Yeah, the next one. Yeah, so then that raised,
Anyway, I just think, much as you might be sitting there going, I'm not an Next shopper, and I mean, that was me, it is just so worth looking at. And the thing that we were so struck by was quality and the details. And nut butter. I am a real convert to nut butter.
Me too, I love stuff.
But I don't eat butter, ever.
Oh really?
Ever. I never put it on my toast. But I do now put nut butter on.
Instead.
But like with all these things you can't eat too much. And it said here that a tablespoon of most nut butters will set you back around 100 calories, that's okay, but 10 grams of fat. So if you think that the average woman should have about 80 grams of fat a day, that's an eighth of your daily fat content.
Yeah, that is a lot.
It's really high.
Yeah.
That is a lot. Do you cook with nut butters, Alex?
Yeah, I'm a massive fan of butter on my toast. Like, I love it. Like, thick, salty butter, thicker than the bread. Absolutely love it.
You're a cook. Yeah. I mean, you guys are bad with, well.
Yeah.
And maybe not such a fan.
Yes. Personally, of nut butters, but we cater with it the whole time. So kind of press days and breakfast bites, and whether it's on top of kind of little granolas or porridges, or kind of even just on rye toast with banana and blueberries.
Which are the best ones, do you think?
Oh, we love Pip and Nut, and so she's great, actually.
She's really great. She's speaking at our conference.
She is, yeah.
This week, and she spoke at our Entrepreneurs Day. Mm. There's one she does with coconut in or something. Have you had that
yes,
one?
Yes, yeah, yeah. And I love the sachet idea.
Yeah, so yeah. We have loads
of them. And is a sachet a tablespoon? Is that one serving?
I assume so.
It's quite a lot in there.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's so easy. I mean, even this morning I was putting on my corn thins, and it's just so easy to just have a bit more and actually, before you know it, you've had... Yeah. Quarter of your fat. If you have 2 tablespoons of that, that's like a quarter of your daily fat content gone. That's an easy match to play with.
But I mean, we're a fairly healthy office, so Charlotte, I imagine you don't have many other sources.
I mean, I don't put like, you know, Cadbury's on top of it or anything. Yeah. But I mean, I suppose that's the point of the article, isn't it? That it's something to kind of be wary of.
Yeah, totally. As long as you're aware and keep everything balanced, I just think then you can't really go that wrong.
Yeah, you've got to be careful. Yeah. If you're having loads of nut butter for breakfast, and then you're having, you know, avocados and seeds, and I know that seems like such a healthy diet, but
it does mount
it's
up.
It's so high.
As Barker says, calories and fat do matter. Let's talk about TV. What's everyone been watching this week?
I'm watching Paula. Has anyone seen that?
No.
It's a new BBC Two 3-part series, so only one's been out so far, I believe. It's about a teacher whose life starts to spiral out of control. In the first episode, you watch it thinking, where's the spiraling happened? She's just a bit of a mess, but nothing major's going on. And then right at the end, it's just like, whoa.
Is it the one, what's the name of the actress in it?
Denise
Goff. Okay, so I saw her in a play. She was in that play I saw the other week. Oh, yeah. I saw that Andrew Garfield play at the National, Angels and Demons, and she is unreal, like the most incredible actress.
Wow.
So I actually want to watch that. I saw the advert and I was like, I know her.
Yeah, it's good. I think Paula. Yeah, okay. Like that's her
what
name, the main character. BBC Two.
So we were talking about Three Girls last week, and I've actually now watched the first two. Oh. That first episode was just horrific.
Yeah, I watched them all on Friday night, actually.
Oh, did you?
Friday night, but. Glass of Rosé. And I watched one, and I was like, I've got to watch the next one, but I had to fast forward a few bits. I wasn't sure.
Tor was saying she watched 5 minutes and turned it off.
Yeah.
And I was watching it and I was like, no, I really do want to see this through.
Incredible, actually, with the kind of the social workers involved and how kind of their story and their take and all. And then actually at the end of the last episode, kind of where they all are now.
But it's really...
Oh, I'm going
to
watch
it.
It's
really
hard to watch it. To the third episode.
I mean, you need to watch the first episode. I mean, it's horrible, but that doesn't mean you should stop. It's not unbearable. It's just really uncomfortable.
What is so hard to watch? What do they show?
There's a couple of... rape scenes.
Right.
Like, it's
not that harrowing. It's just really... it's just horrible to see. I think you know where it's going from the minute it starts.
Yeah, totally.
To see this girl from, like, you know, quite a nice family.
The vulnerability.
And you can just see it happen, and you can apply that set of circumstances to so many others. And you can just see how people who grow up in those sort of surroundings, you can just see how they how they fall into those ways and how they're taking advantage of.
And you're willing her to go home, aren't you, at points? You're kind of you really feel for the girls, and you're kind of think you're saying to them, like, oh my god, please go home. Go home, go home. Like, they're so vulnerable, and you just, it's quite an emotional watch.
So we call it three girls, and one of them is this kind of madam, and you kind of blame her. And then as it goes on, you realise that she was a victim as much as the others, and she was only 15. But it's basically, it's about Rochdale and, all these girls groomed for sex. I read somewhere someone saying it's the programme, it's a series that you should make your children watch.
I think it really should.
Yeah.
I was thinking, having two girls, God, would I want them to watch that? But actually,
it's the sort of thing my dad
exposed them to.
It's like graphic stranger danger, isn't it? Yeah,
it's like you don't want to muddy their minds, but equally, if it's for a greater purpose, then maybe it's worth it. Are you a TV girl, Alex?
Yes, so either totally trashy or I don't have to think. I kind of
love Love Island.
Yes, I'm glad to say that. I'm actually quite excited about that.
I love it.
Or something kind of really like factual, like The Trial. I thought was amazing. I don't know if you guys watched that.
Yeah, I haven't watched that.
That's another
one. What's The Trial? But,
it was a fake case, but a real jury and a real judge and real barristers, and it was about a murder, which, fictionally happened. But it was, it was quite interesting. It ran over 5 nights, I think last week. But on the other hand, Love Island, like, got really into it.
Love Island, is that all you can talk about?
Gosh. Georgie, there are some big fans in this office of Love Island. Yeah. Don't judge
you
them.
Included.
Yeah, oh my god, yeah. I cannot wait every night now for the rest. I don't know how long it goes on for, but pretty much the whole summer.
So every year this is like Big Brother, but
but it's quite new.
It was old. Yeah, but years and then it was and then last year
the popularity that is new.
And then you can't really talk about some bits. Who watched it last night? And we were like,
Like,
no one can talk about it. It's so explicit. Like, it's really, I find it really quite shocking.
It's not new. I mean, it was on like TV.
With like Paul Dunan and other people, Sophie Anderson and like proper Z-listers were on it. Like, 10 years ago.
Sophie Anderson.
But no, it's not.
Best was on it.
But they're not celebrities anymore. They're just
real
people.
Okay.
So,
most of them are sort of like, aspiring personalities, aren't they? Like
Towie types.
Models or, grid girls and things like that. Like, not to be judgmental, but the majority of them
Sorry. Grid girls.
What's a grid girl?
Yes, like they go out and start like motorsports competitions with big flags.
Oh, I thought it was like slang.
Grid girl.
Grid girl. It's not a career, but it's not.
Love it.
I mean, it is trashy but seriously addictive.
So has it started
tonight?
Yeah.
Trouble with me is I'm so all or nothing. So if I start watching something like that, I will get addicted. But it's there's such pleasure in that. That, and people are so, you're not watching that rubbish. But I do get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sort of rolling my eyes at Grid Girls and whatever else. But I think there's such enjoyment you can get from just a bit of TV in the evening. Like, how can that not be a good thing to have that? Is it half an hour?
No, I think it's an hour, isn't it?
For how many weeks?
It's like, it is the whole of summer. I'm not sure exactly how many weeks it is, but I mean, they just develop their own little life in there. Like, they become so obsessed with
and they can
Love Island life. They all, obviously, the title suggests, they all couple off, and that's the whole thing about the show. They have to couple each week and make matches, otherwise they're out.
Then they'll bring in a hotter girl or a hotter boy,
so
and then they can choose to uncouple.
The uni holidays.
Yes, totally.
Can we talk about difficult women?
Yes.
Because Rosie wrote a piece on this book. Everybody is talking about this book.
Yeah.
I need to read this book. Charlotte, you've read it.
Yes.
Short stories.
Yeah. So, which I would never normally turn to short stories.
Nor
I'm more of a novel kind of girl. But they have a kind of, there's a like novelistic vibe to them. I think the thing that's made it such a hit is they are beautifully written. Like, really, they're so visual. visuals, so stunning, really quite graphic, quite each story, even though it can only be a couple of pages sometimes, are like really quite, they're harrowing or they're depressing, whatever, yeah. They really kind of get to the point. And like, I'm guessing, although I haven't finished, that the reason it's been so popular is because anyone can relate to some of the women that are within it. So you might, you know, and you might have nothing to do with some of them or be like, oh God, I can't relate to this at all. But actually, there's always going to be a story in there that you can feel, God, I relate to that.
Yeah, so Rosie, who wrote this piece, wrote, narrating the lives, friendships, compromises and relationships of both the privileged and impoverished, expect everything from a female fight club to a woman who pretends to not notice that her husband swaps places with his twin.
Yes, I've read that one. It's
and
so bizarre.
And a stripper finding herself through college. It's the breadth of experiences that makes this book so striking. No perspective is excluded.
Yes.
Which I think it sounds brilliant. I genuinely really want to read it.
I read. Yeah, well, I downloaded it on my Kindle and I was like, oh, what you were saying before about sleeping. Yeah. So I was like, okay, I'll read one before I go to bed each night. Nice. And actually, I've been reading like three. They're really quick, and they're good. You want to read the next one each time, I think.
And lots of 20 of them or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Let's talk about what's on in the UK this summer. It's kind of summer pop-up madness right now, isn't it? Has anyone been to the Brixton pop-up?
Oh, is that the beach?
The beach, yeah.
Yes.
Mm. So is it new? Because I went last year to a thing called Brixton Beach.
Yeah, it's the same. So it's the second year, I don't know.
It's in the same place.
Hope's Road, same
people.
Yeah, I went last year.
And
not
is it
this
good?
Year. Yeah, it is cool. Like, it is pretty much does what it says on the tin. You know, it's a drinks, food festival covered in sand.
And there is sand, I was going to say.
Yeah.
You, Alex, you're nodding. Have you been?
Yes, I went last year. Went to celebrate my younger brother's birthday. There were some quite fun nights there last year. They had like a Craig Charles Funk and Soul night, which was full of like the older crowd on a Sunday, just kind of, sun and few beers.
There seems to be a real craze for these. Well, I mean, why not? We don't get the nice weather very often, but you know, roof decks and these beach parties. There's this new one called Neverland that's opened
just across the road.
I think we're going on a work night out.
Yeah, we are.
Carla's trying to organise it.
Is she?
Yeah, great.
Okay, pay like £10 or something to get in, and then this is what I'm told. And then there are barmen /cocktailmen there, so you can buy spirits there. And they'll mix your cocktails for you.
Like BYOC.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
BYOC?
Yeah, it's a...
Bring your own cocktail.
Bring your own cocktail. So it's a couple, there's a few. It's a bar in London. There's one in Soho and one in Camden. And you bring spirits. And then there's a barman there.
And you learn different drinks. So that's quite nice. And quite nice that there's something happening. This way.
Yeah.
And the other one that everyone talks about, and I know it's not new this year, is Pergola on the Roof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Isn't there a new one? There's two new ones, right? Yeah.
So there's the original one, which is at Shepherd's Bush, and then I think they've opened one in Paddington.
Exactly. I went to the... I think their first Saturday there, so kind of know the owner, and two great guys behind it and doing really well.
And what's so great about it?
Well, it was really fun. We kind of spent a Saturday there on bank holiday, so we kind of had these what you call kind of day beds at the top. So it was lovely. So kind of rosé, it was sunny, and then downstairs it's a street food. It is brilliant.
And if it rains, what do you do?
If it rains, the street food bit's undercover, but kind of a lot of natural light. And upstairs there's a kind of a bar, so you'd probably just head downstairs. But it was great. It was amazing. But it's not the most cost effective way to kind of spend an afternoon. That's
you should work it. Right. Just,
the BYO is probably a good idea. Worth one.
And can you book your day beds?
Yes,
you can book in advance. I actually spent my birthday there this year. I went to the White City one.
Oh yes, you did.
Yeah,
didn't you?
It wasn't as hot as I'd hoped, but it was still really fun. Like, it's one of those perfect summer days, drink the day away kind of places.
They've done it so well. Because essentially it's the top of a car park.
Yeah, it is.
They have like painted everything white. Like, if it's bright sunny day, you could be in Ibiza.
It's actually really cool.
It's got cool tunes.
Yeah. Like, the street food that's there is decent street food.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, beautiful. Like, they've covered all the framework with like flowers and stuff. Like, it's really cool. Really Instagrammable.
Oh. Yeah, a magnum of rosé.
As you say, not cheap, but so nice that you can do that kind of thing in London, I think.
Yeah.
Anything that you're involved in this summer, Alex?
Oh, what have we got? So we have got lots going on. We've got a couple of really cool supper clubs. So kind of trying to organise an alfresco one. So just to kind of enjoy the weather.
Why do you host those?
So we're in-house at Loft Studios. So kind of we're going to do one up there.
Where's Loft Studios?
So up in Kensal.
Right.
Which has a really cool outside space. And then we're also chatting to a few venues in Peckham to try and do an outside supper club.
And
there.
Do you do a lot of supper clubs?
Yeah, we do. We recently, I've got one on Thursday with two girls who were both on MasterChef, who are brilliant.
Which ones?
Totally intimidating, the whole thing. So Joey O'Hare. And then Maxine.
Oh, not the recent ones.
Not the recent ones. Sorry, a couple of years ago. Okay. So doing a one with those, with the, and it's kind of she wears the trousers, so very kind of women, and one of the girls runs a chef trouser, which she set up called Poker Pants, which is very cool and on-trend and comfortable chef trousers. I don't know if you've ever worn any, but they're not fashionable. But Poker Pants definitely
until now.
Are. Yeah, exactly. And then we did a really big one last month, which is where we had five of the ex-offenders I employ with five top chefs.
So yeah. Tell us about this. This is sort of social enterprise.
Yes. So I employ five ex-prisoners and have done for the last like 4 or 5 years now.
And how did that come about? I think that's fascinating.
Came about. Why did it? I was just really naughty when I was younger, like absolute terror. And
you've been to prison?
Just near miss, I think. Yeah, I know. Near miss.
Okay, so that's kind of, a story for another time.
I just got involved with this charity, and then really luckily, you know, kind of work with lots of the boys actually, and kind of do a lot of. Fair bit of work in the prisons as well, and then employ.
Do you? Yeah, how brilliant! Do they? I would love us to interview them.
We can miss two.
I have this sort of split persona that when I was 17, I wanted to join the prison service. That my mum finds quite strange when she looks at me and says, "You do what you do." I was in the cadets and have always been fascinated by prisons. Actually, I went to a talk the other day given by the governor of Wandsworth Prison.
Yeah,
talking about prisons, and you know that. One of the big things David Cameron was working on, or what's his name, Sarah Vine's husband, Michael Gove was working on, was kind of decentralising prison budgets, so giving the budgets to the governors to do things. And anyway, he's, I don't know if it's gone ahead, but anyway, he was kind of piloting the scheme.
Great.
And he was talking about businesses and just really encouraging everyone to get prisons. And I was sitting there thinking, God, it's something I'd love to get involved in. I'm not sure it's quite right to share lives.
I mean,
but,
we're collaborating with Bad Boys Bakery in Brixton, so separate to the boys I employ, because one of the gentlemen I employ comes from Brixton every day, actually from prison, and goes back every day. But we are working with Bad Boys Bakery and releasing a product, and we've had to put it on hold because of the election, because you're not allowed to take journalists into a public funded building. Infuriating. But we are taking in 10 journalists to come into Bad Boys Bakery, so I can ask Charlotte if we've got a spare slot as and when it comes back up for one of you guys to come.
I'd love to cover that.
Have a cooking lesson with the boys and me, and we're going to make this tart, and we were like, what do you want to name it? To the boys, they're like, we've thought of a really good name. I was like, great. They're like, summer tart. I was like, great, fantastic.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
That'll catch the headlines. Took them like a week to come. That's like, no problem.
We got it.
So when the election's over, we have had to just reschedule everything, which has been a bit of a shame. But we're then, and it's all about rehabilitation and trying to raise awareness of employability as they come out.
And how does it work with paying them?
So I employ them all fully. Yeah,
and
some of the boys are now on salaries because they've been moved so long.
And they earn the money that
If it's a gentleman that comes on day release in prison, it's quite rare to do that now because of the open prisons and having moved, but I pay his into a victim support. A bit of his percentage goes to victim support charity, and then he gets the rest of it.
So you have five of them. One comes on day release.
Yeah, exactly. And then the rest are full time, and
And they're what, ex-prisoners?
Ex-prisoners. They're kind of younger boys. Yeah. So they've done all sorts from kind of drug dealing to a bit of kind of GBH. And they've had really tough backgrounds, think that, like, going back to the three girls. Yeah, that's why it really kind of hit home with me. But they are so brilliant. Like, I've got one boy, Ray, who is so naughty, but I just love him because he's so naughty.
And if they had any kind of education in prison, because one of the things the governors of Wandsworth were saying at this talk was, you know, well, it's kind of twofold. One is prevention, but how are you ever going to beat that? Because people are always going to be born into these circumstances. And the other is education to kind of prevent reoffending. Have they had any kind of preparation for life after prison?
Yeah, I think so. And that, I kind of, that's why I went into Brixton recently, to talk to the people who are kind of training these prisoners. But there is a lot of education in prison. You've just got to be ready to do it and willing to do it. But it's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
And I was chatting about how you need to be quite aware of food trends. And obviously, you know, these gentlemen by Hawass, they don't have Instagram, or they're not, you know, they don't have the media. So kind of coming out and, you know, actually kind of getting a job and being hot on food trends, you know, what you need to be a chef these days is quite versatile. They've kind of been quite traditionally trained. But then I was explaining that all you need is a good bit of hard work and a good bit of passion, and any employer will see that.
Yeah.
And also, you don't need a huge amount of experience in the hospitality industry. You've just got to be able to work hard.
That's why it's such a great industry for them.
And a lot of companies are kind of looking to prisons for employment. Like Pret, a great story, that one of the gentlemen that released out of Wandsworth, he now is in New York kind of running like a bunch of... like amazing. And there's all sorts of roastery, like a coffee bean company based in Wandsworth.
And why just men and not any women?
So the majority of ex-offenders are gentlemen, so it's just kind of the ratio. But also the London riots sparked the Key for Life charity, like, it's called Key for Life. You guys could mentor. I mentor young gentlemen. We just hang out and have a latte every so often. But it was after that, that's, you know, so those boys are coming out of prison now, and it's kind of really helping them. And sometimes just a person to call and say, I'm a bit bored, or, you know, can we go for a coffee, or, you know, what are you up to? Just a chat sometimes.
Did you set out to set up a social enterprise, or did you first start with a social pantry and then it came next?
First started with social pantry and then it just came next. And then the name works really well.
Yeah. I was going to say, is that a lucky coincidence? God, well, I think that's really impressive.
Yeah, we'll come on down.
Because actually, it's up to us. Like, you know, we can all have a part to play, can't we?
Definitely.
Amazing.
By the way, I came to one of your supper cards, and it was I came to the Diageo dinner.
Oh, yes.
It was your food is amazing. Good, like, honestly, it's insane. They do these enormous sharing platters. They do these enormous sharing platters, and the way you present it is so cool. They put it on like big barrels and these amazing plates, and it was unbelievable.
Good.
Such good food. Yeah, yeah. Sea amazing.
Coronation cauliflower.
Yes.
Coronation cauliflower.
Amazing.
Champion of veggies.
Yeah. Well, talking of veggies, do you do a lot of veggie cooking?
Yeah, I do actually.
Because we wrote a piece on the health benefits.
Oh, good.
Of going veggie.
And what's your conclusion that it should be veggie?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's each their own. I was a vegetarian for about 5 minutes at school because the veggies used to get to eat from the teacher's trolley. So I came home and told my mum, I think I was eight, and she rang my dad. And he said, no child of mine will be a vegetarian. My mother came off the phone and said, your father says no child of his will be a vegetarian.
Attitude. That's it then.
So I went, okay, well, I'll have a piece of chicken for supper. And that's my career as a vegetarian. Do you find that there are events that people want catering for that are just vegetarian? Does that happen?
Yes. So we kind of, endlessly kind of doing vegetarian weddings, but also...
Endlessly doing vegetarian weddings?
Yeah, and also, I kind of, I think it is something that should be totally celebrated. Like, I kind of have thought about getting veggie, but as a caterer, kind of, I feel it's quite a stamp on it, but it's so easy, it's quite cost effective, and actually just eating local and fresh, it's you know, just I mean, I was championing kind of ahead of the summer like a vegetarian barbecue, so I was kind of like, do it if you dare. And I just
so
think
tell
that's
us what a
fun.
Vegetarian barbecue looks like. My husband would be like, actually, but we did go to some friends once and it was vegetarian barbecue. He's like,
me. Yeah. I feel like I do champion it, but it is quite a terrifying thing to do. But just some just gorgeous salads. We're all about like incredible salads, like so tasty, so fresh, so simple. But kind of just like half grilled broccoli's are really fun, like corn on the cob with some really cool butters. Like we did a miso butter the other day.
And,
you know, actually, like kind of if people don't realise there's no meat, that's when you're winning. But we do kind of instead of coronation chicken, we do coronation cauliflower, and kind of it goes so well in a taco, so kind of with avo mousse and, you know, it's this really good, cool, chunky and tomato salsa.
Amazing.
And it's just so tasty and fresh and kind of filling. And it's so Moorish. You just go back for more. So people almost don't really notice. But I think we're actually, yeah, we're quite good at veggies.
What are the foods that you're doing the most that are the most popular?
Really cool. So tacos, massive with Oaxaca. And, you know, I saw Tomasina the other day and she was like, yeah, I've been doing tacos for years and no one's listened. I was like, I feel your pain, but I'm on your bandwagon. So tacos are really cool. Things that are coming over from America, like coconut ash is very trendy at the moment. So kind of like burnt inside of the coconut, so kind of sprinkled on desserts. Ooh.
That's what that ice cream was.
That's good.
So kind of, yeah, we try and interpret trends and then put our spin on it. S'mores, so kind of barbecue and s'mores. And I don't feel like I'd ever eat a whole one, but kind of, yeah, digging in. And then sharing still is really popular.
Let's talk about swimwear. Because we did a piece with Heidi Klein about important things to know before buying swimwear. And actually, I feel like I learned a bit from this.
So I thought, yeah, exactly that, to kind of get some tips on what, just how to kind of know what you're looking for, really. Yeah. And she came out with some nuggets, really, didn't she?
She did. And also, I think, sort of so obvious, is when you buy a bra, I mean, how many bras do you try on before you buy the bra or buy a new bra? And it has to be a shape and a fit for you. But yet with swimwear,
we're always willing to experiment, aren't we? But actually, there probably is something that suits you.
Yeah,
you need to establish that.
Exactly. Yes.
And she was like, choose the fit before the trend. I mean, it sounds so obvious, but how many people go, I love that frill on a bikini top, so I'm going to go for it. But actually, it might not be the wrong shape for it. The other thing she said, and I just believe this so much, and it was a girlfriend who said this to me a while ago, we've talked about it, but is that buying cheap swimwear is just a complete false economy.
Totally.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it just doesn't last.
I thought it was interesting, her tips on washing your swimwear, because I'm guilty of everything she's got to do. She's like, don't wring it out, make sure you hang it.
Don't wring it out, put it in a washing machine or hang it in the sun to dry. Yeah, I do all of those. I put mine in one of those machines at the gym.
I've never done that.
But oh my god, I'm like, expensive bikini, in it goes.
It's so bad for it,
And why wouldn't you put it in the sun to dry? How else are you
going
to
dry? I know, that's why. Yeah,
well, I used to do surf lifesaving my whole childhood, and that's what I would do to my swimming costume at least, you know, four times a week from coming out of the sea from doing that. And that's probably why the bums went saggy.
I know.
And they were cheap, I think, because they just hold their
sports cozzies, so the most flattering anyway.
She also said adjustability is always something to prioritise because we're all different shapes. And again, that seems really obvious, but she said look for features like tie backs and sides, sliders to adjust coverage, and mix and match sizing with different style options. I mean, yeah, I agree. I think buying who is the same size on top and bottom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I also think if you don't like buying swimwear, the temptation is to go cheap and is to go budget because you just think, well, I don't really like it anyway. But actually, this is like a cautionary tale, just not to, you know. It will feel much better if you actually invest. Yeah.
The other thing that I learned at Biondi Swimwear, which is a great swimwear brand, is I always used to go for bigger bottoms because I'm not tiny on the bottom half. So I always used to think it would look better if they were a bit bigger. And I remember going in there and trying on some Thai bikini bottoms, and I was like, I'll have them in a size whatever, and they were like, no, why are you getting that size? And I was like, well, just because, you know, I don't want it too tight or showing too much butt or whatever. And she was like, no, it's way more flattering to have smaller ones that fit you and that aren't hanging.
You know? Otherwise, you get like the ruching, don't you? Yeah. And that that's
when it goes saggy, isn't
Actually, a smaller is, especially if you're gonna wear like a triangle bikini, the smaller the bikini is, the slimmer you'll look.
Yeah. That's well, it. It was a triangle.
To an extent.
Anyway, so there were some really good tips there.
I have to say, I do have a Heidi Klein bikini, and I've had it for years, and it's like, I have one live too. Much longer than all my others.
So. And you can feel the difference. You put it on, it's like putting a good bra on.
Exactly.
So we wrote a piece on dating apps, the dating apps every single girl needs to know about. It was actually a guy who was basically saying to me that he quite liked to meet someone, but he wouldn't do online dating. And then we determined by the end of the conversation that actually he would quite like to do online dating. He just had to get over himself. And he ended by saying, well, where do I go? And I was like, well, Bumble. I was like, I know there are loads, but I can't really tell you any others. So we wrote in a piece for this guy. And I was talking to this, I was at lunch yesterday and I was talking to a girl who's my age. So she's, 36, single. And it's tough. I was like, you know, she works really hard, she travels loads. She's a good catch, she's an attractive girl, really nice. And I was like, do you online date? And she was like, yeah, I do, but it's just, it's not that easy. And I was asking her which apps that she used. I think it was just Bumble she talked about. Mm. Why, people like Bumble because the woman is in control.
Yeah, the girl speaks first.
Yeah, so men can't approach women, basically.
But it's funny, isn't it? Because there was such a stigma, like, 10 years ago. I remember, in fact, it was someone I know whose sister met her husband. And this was, like, really quite early on in the dating. And, you know, they're both really normal. I know that sounds obvious to say it now, but... You know, a decade ago, it wasn't so much the norm as it is now.
I think there's a difference between online dating and using an app. Because online dating, you're really putting yourself out there. You know, you have to build your profile and put your pictures up and all of this stuff. Whereas those things are just linked to your social media. So it's kind of cavalier. It's like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, I joined, you know, Bumble or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of brush it off as being like, oh, well, I just downloaded it, whatever. I know my friends do that all the time. They download, they get cringed out, they delete, and then they keep going. And I think it's just not as big a commitment. And it doesn't feel as kind of... I think people felt, rightly or wrongly, that they were being desperate by using websites. Whereas the app is not the same, I don't think.
I think the reason why the app works so well and has been so popular is because it feeds into the social media phenomenon. Exactly. Like, it is just like having Instagram, but for single dating. People. Yeah, it really is.
And do you know lots of people who online date?
No, but I know loads of people on apps.
I've been to 3 weddings where the people met online.
Yes, that's
online or by apps?
I think of it, the older ones, probably it would have been like Match.com and stuff like that, but I think one was Tinder.
Yeah.
That means you have to differentiate between the two.
I don't know any young people who use websites.
I think there's
websites.
A demographic difference.
Yeah.
So is Bumble an app or a website?
App.
These
are all apps.
This has got Match.com on it.
Oh, interesting. But that's a website.
They both have an app.
I think you're slightly splitting hairs to say this.
So my friends would never, they would be horrified at the idea of setting up an online profile on a website, but they would absolutely use Tinder, Bumble and all of those.
And
definitely.
The whole point of
this, as I said, I think that's splitting hairs.
Well, maybe.
This piece goes into what app or what website is best for what. So Match.com is more if you're really looking for a long-term relationship, whereas Tinder is kind of known to be a bit more...
It definitely,
casual.
Yeah, originally it was a real, like, you know, people were sending horrific pictures across Tinder of private parts because it was all about hooking up.
It was supposed to be the straight person's grinder, wasn't it? That's
how
it began.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I now have lots of friends that are in 3-year relationships that met on Tinder.
Mm. Do you?
Yeah, gosh. Quite a few, actually.
Oh, you. So. I was fascinated by this one, Raya.
I know.
Yeah,
dating a celeb.
Amazing.
I think that's so funny.
How does it work?
Apparently, Cara Delevingne, Zach Braff, and Elijah Wood.
Yeah, you have to have 5,000 followers and be incredibly beautiful.
You have to be successful, extremely beautiful, and have 5,000.
Where's the longevity in there?
It's
essentially
the Soho House of online dating businesses.
Yeah. I love the fact that if you've got 5,000, you're successful, but if you're not good looking enough,
you're out.
There's also one if you want to meet men with a beard.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's so funny.
My friends all use the Jewish ones. There are like religious sect apps. JDate is like the website, but JSwipe is the app. And
Sounds like an app.
You can meet like-minded Jews.
Oh wow,
there is an app for everything. Meeting a man with a beer, meeting a Jew, or even meeting your YouTube crush.
Your tube, not YouTube. So like on the tube.
Oh!
Not like you fancy Zoella.
I was just sitting there thinking, how is that any different to Zoella?
Zoella, what up?
Meeting your tube crush. I'm just wondering how this works. Anyone who lives in London is likely to have encountered a tube crush.
I've had a wedding of a tube crush.
Stop
no,
it.
You haven't.
How? What happened?
But they're both quite odd. I'm sure they were. Yeah, they just started chatting and that's it. Married and recently had a baby, yeah.
Oh,
if someone talks to me on the tube, I'm like,
yeah, like, get off.
I know, so at the wedding it was like tube names of the table places. And
oh, wow, that's
really
cheesy.
Yeah, totally, quite nice.
I think the way this one works is if you've both got the app, when you get off, whatever, it'll basically say, this person was on your tube, and you can look and say, oh my god, that's the guy I fancied.
A bit like happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Which is quite, it takes the
embarrassment
out of it.
I've definitely seen it on the tube before. I think it's cool. I think I'd have loved app dating.
I think that was a really fun roundup.
Let's talk about Lisa Potter Dixon's beauty rules, because she's massive.
She's huge. So she's Benefit's head makeup artist, but she's also got a massive following on YouTube, and her Instagram Instagram account. But yeah, there were some really cool little nuggets, I think, that we took away from here.
I love these pieces because it's like you're getting the kind of insider tips, which are always the best, aren't they?
Yeah, I love the mascara one. Have you ever put mascara on your bottom lashes first?
Yes. So she says, hands up if you always put mascara on your top lashes first. If this is you, I'm afraid you've been doing it wrong. When you apply mascara to your bottom lashes, you look up, and if you already have wet mascara on your top lashes, it'll transfer to your eyebrow.
It's so common sense often, isn't it? And you're just like, duh.
Well, I know.
But yeah, I've been doing that since now. So
she also said, take time when you're doing your base.
She uses a beauty blender.
And she bangs on about brows, and the power of a tint as well. I'm all for makeup to fill it in, but actually, as she said, there's nothing like an eyebrow tint.
Yeah.
To feel ready. I always say I would have my eyebrows tinted every other day if I could.
They just do look much bolder and
fuller and thicker. Yeah, like, just like straight away.
You don't need
as
much product then, so they're not melting off your face throughout the day, so that's great.
And she says, tips for long-lasting makeup, try setting spray.
I do that now.
I do too.
You? Yeah, Torgin one. An Urban Decay one, not the Urban Decay one that you have, but a different one. And the difference it makes... I've had real problems with my makeup not staying on all day and was trying all different things, and it makes
okay, so let's talk about this.
Smashbox is a good one.
Yes, I've heard that as well.
So you use that every day?
I wasn't. I started using it on sporadic days and then found that the difference was ridiculous. Mm. So yes, I have now started using it daily. In the last few weeks, not often, not... for a long time.
Put mine in a goodie bag, didn't know what it was for. And started wearing it and it was brilliant. I should actually get back on that.
Love it.
And which one was that?
The Smashbox one.
Okay. Yeah. And it's obviously not greasy.
No.
Do you feel it, your skin dries out a bit when you put it on?
No, it's like spraying water all over your makeup. It feels so weird. My face is wet afterwards, and you're like, whoa, how could this work? And you just have to kind of sit and wait for a couple of minutes. And then your hair on is normal and there's no difference, but it genuinely lasts.
And do you still get that shine throughout the day when you've put one on?
Yeah, so it doesn't mattify anything. It's not like a finisher, like a powder would be. It just, I guess... This is really bad because I've told people in the office I've done this before.
I knew.
When I was young, I used to put hairspray on my face.
Oh my god!
I swear, I've seen them do that in gypsy weddings.
I do have gypsy roots, so that could be why.
You have gypsy roots, right? We need to talk about
it. Yeah. My middle name's Rose because my nan, Rosa Lee,
really?
She's a gypsy. Well, she's heritage of, but she's not actually a gypsy,
Really? So, that's fascinating. She also said, don't use a powder in the summer.
And I think that's a really good tip. I often forget it and go, damn, I've put powder on my face and I'm going out somewhere hot. But it does clog into your pores if you start sweating a little bit or into your creases of your eyes. And
so how do you not look shiny when it's really hot?
Just use like a blotting paper or something instead of... Because I think often...
Oh, it's just one more thing to have, isn't it?
But some foundations, when you put them on, aren't shiny when you put them on. It's as you... you know, go out throughout the day and you get a bit oilier that you get shiny, and that is then just mopping up the excess rather than putting something on top. And if you're using a setting spray, then you're not using it to fix, it's more the shine, so blotting would therefore work.
Alex, let's talk about Social Pantry. I would have thought lots of people do know of you because you are always listed in the best caterers in London and you seem to be having huge success and have had huge success, but for those who don't know it, tell us what you do.
So Social Pantry is an events and contract catering company with a cafe on Lavender Hill in Battersea. So we've got our production unit in Wandsworth, and from there we cater for all sorts of events. We have lots of big contracts where we feed offices every day, Monday through Friday. We do private parties, so weddings and birthdays and celebrations. And then we also do lots of corporates. So in that will be the beauty brands, some which we've discussed today, lots of fashion labels, some really cool kind of partnerships that we do. And then we also kind of do supper clubs. So we've got one with Anthropologie in a couple of weeks, and kind of where we're teaming up with other names. Our tagline is fresh, season and delicious. And if you're starting with great produce and keeping it really simple and just really fresh, it's really accessible food. The recipes are so simple, but it's good food and kind of cooked well and delivered well and served with style.
And why do you think you've been successful? I mean, there's so much competition, isn't there, when it comes
there
to
is.
Catering?
Yeah, and I think it's that's also kind of great in a way. Like, I love it that we kind of are up against kind of Rhubarb and Rocket for quotes, and, you know, that's something to be really proud of. But with the competition being so fierce, and it really is, everything from kind of markets and supper clubs right through to kind of the big catering gigs, it is incredibly fierce. But I think that just makes you better and better. As soon as you kind of relax, you start to, you know, you start to fail or kind of lose concentration. concentration. And really only the best will survive in this kind of environment and moving forward. But that's something to embrace, and I, you know, take inspiration from, you know, all of our competitors, and kind of, yeah, it makes us better, I suppose.
Well, as Charlotte said, your food is truly excellent, and if you haven't been to the cafe on Lavender Hill and you don't live many miles away, then get down there. Thank you so much for joining us,
Alex.
Thank
you for having me.
That's it for this week. If you have any feedback, do email podcast@sheerlarks.com, and if you enjoyed that, then do please subscribe and review us on iTunes. See you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.